The following is a presentation of the Potter's House of Camdenton.
Sometimes in the past, it may have been presented either by me or someone else that when you come to Christ, you put Him in charge of your life, that life's probably going to sail pretty easy. Probably won't be many waves in your life or many difficulties in your life or anything like that. And coming to Christ can be presented almost very dangerously at that point, because those things aren't true. When you give your life to Christ and you put Him in charge and you begin to read the Word of God, you understand that you don't have to go looking for troubles or difficulties. They'll find you because you are beginning to live by a different standard. We'll have difficulties. It's not if you'll have difficulties, it's when. And it's not, it'll soon be over. It's sometimes the seasons of difficulties are pretty long and lengthy. And it's learning to endure, but it's also learning who you have to lean into and lean on and trust in during those times of difficulties. And we so quickly as humans forget. The memory fades, the reality fades of who we have in God and in our community to lean into and lean on in our times of difficulties. And it's not just about depending on your community, it's running to your community. And it really is relying on God in the instant and realizing and knowing and living in the reality that you and God are community. If you are alone in life and the only person you have in your life is the Lord Jesus Christ, you have enough. He's enough. You can depend on Him and know that He will be more than sufficient. Will He rescue you from trial? He might, but He might not. But He'll never leave you nor abandon you in those trials. Jesus said these words about Himself. It is necessary that the Son of Man proceed to an ordeal of suffering, be tried and found guilty by the religious leaders, high priests, and religion scholars, be killed, and on the third day be raised up alive. Now He's talking to His immediate followers, the 12, and the closest would be Peter, James, and John. And He's saying, here's what's going to happen to me. And then He says in the Gospel of John, that's Luke chapter 9, verse 22. In the Gospel of John, as He's preparing, He's already washed His disciples' feet. He's talked to them and taught them about the Holy Spirit and how He's going to come. Before He's arrested, though, and before He goes to trial and is killed and then buried, this is what He says concerning them. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart, I've conquered the world. This is what He said in John 15 prior to that. If you find the godless world is hating you, remember it got its start hating me. If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you. If they beat on me, they will certainly beat on you. Now, thank you, Jesus. Appreciate that prophetic word. Could you have been a little bit more positive? Paul wrote these words. There's far more to this life than trusting in Christ. There's also suffering for Him. And the suffering is as much a gift as the trusting. You're involved in the same kind of struggle you saw me go through. So Paul, who is one of the greatest persecutors of the church, has this amazing turnaround experience with the Lord, becomes one of the most persecuted of the church. And he's saying, and he, as he writes Philippians, he writes it from a jail cell. He's in prison for his faith in Christ. And he's saying, and we need to hear these words, there's more to this life than trusting in Christ. In other words, you're gonna suffer. You're going to have difficulties in life. And then Peter, one of the inner three of the apostles, in 1 Peter chapter 4, writes these words. Friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Now, that's a message paraphrase. I like that. We kind of assume, well, if things have gone tough, God got overthrown, right? Where's God? What's he up to? He's gone. What in the world's going on? Instead, be glad that you're in the very thick of what Christ experienced. If you have a Bible, go to Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. I'm going to summarize both chapters for you. Here's the early church that is now probably a few months past the ascension of Christ. And they're on the job full time, being empowered and filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the temple for the afternoon prayer time. And they see a man that was lame from birth as they're walking through a particular gate. And he hollers at them and says, hey, can you give me some money? And they look at him and say, well, you know, we don't have money, but what we do have we'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Well, reach down, give him a hand. He gets up and walks. Now, you would presume that everybody would be on board with a healing like that, right? Well, here's the problem. And I want you to take note of this. I want you to hear this. So often, the people we're persecuted by the most are the people who should be cheerleading the most. It's not the Roman Empire that's in charge at this time that is giving these apostles a hard time. It is the religious of the world that are giving the apostles this hard time of Peter and John. And so Peter and John, immediately a crowd is drawn in Acts chapter 3 because they know this lame man, born lame from birth, is now walking and leaping and praising God. And Peter and John do something very interesting in the passage. They immediately begin to talk about Jesus Christ. They seize the moment and they begin to preach Jesus Christ. And they begin to tell the same story of, here's this Jesus Christ whom you arrested, whom you killed, whom Pontius Pilate wanted to free. You killed him. God brought him back to life. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that this man is able to walk. So they immediately shed anything that would have come to them of, hey, man, you've done a great work, you're amazing, you're incredible, blah, 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 blah. They immediately shift and point to Jesus Christ. He's the one. And then there's this onslaught of instability in this religious community because it happens in the center of the Jewish people at the temple, and there's this almost riot and this uprising that takes place. And it's interesting, some few months earlier, maybe they're past 3 or 4 months past Jesus ascending, and just 3 or 4 months prior to, here's these weak, feeble, scared, hiding disciples that have locked themselves in a room after Jesus has been buried, and even after he has come forth from the grave, those few hours after that, they're hiding and they're weak and they're scared and they're feeble. And it's almost like life is over for them. And then just a few months later, Jesus has exited the scene in one sense and has thrown down the power of the Holy Spirit. And here's these new men and these new women that they're not afraid anymore. It's as if, who are they? And what you find in them is that difficulties didn't kill them. Difficulties didn't shoo them away. Difficulties didn't cause them to close up shop and say, well, this whole God thing just didn't work out for me. And and walk off. Here's what's happened so many times for too many of us. And here's why there's a cycle in church. Is we have these unrealistic expectations of God and other people that you don't find them in Scripture. If you're going to live full bore for God, here's what I want you to hear. You may hear nothing else this morning. If you're going to live full bore for God, hang on, because the full bore of the tenants of hell have to pour out to try to get you to give up. Satan doesn't want you to go full bore. You have a target on your back. If you are on fire for Jesus Christ and you are living the faith exactly how the Word says to live the faith, then you will be persecuted. You will be on trial. You will be in trouble. You will face difficulties on top of just normal life circumstances that come in just because you're human. And what are you going to do? And way too many of us quit and give up. It's too hard. It's just too hard. I just can't do it. And you're right, you can't. I will tell you, you can't do it. I can't do it. God doesn't want us to do it on our own. He doesn't. Listen to some of the difficulties that these guys endured. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says that the people, the religious leaders, became indignant with them. It also says that they not only arrested them, they imprisoned them for overnight. And we don't know what happened in prison. We don't have the inside track to that. Luke doesn't give us any information. But often how it works for us is people try to imprison us by their words and actions. Well, I'll shut you down and I'll lock you up by being indignant and just watch what happens. Third, they try to humiliate them and intimidate them by calling in the big dogs of the religious leaders and gathering a crowd. Ever been in a crowd alone? Because of your faith in Christ, it's humiliating and it's very intimidating. That's the goal. And then the last one is that the people throw out threats and warnings in verses 15 through 20 of Acts chapter 4. I mean, they're after this because something is happening in a movement of the people called the followers of Christ that is taking the focus off of the Jews and turning it towards Jesus. They don't like it at all. Now, here's where we need to perk up. Because what happens in this passage in Acts chapter 4 is really, really, really significant for you and I to understand and know. This will thrust us down the road years if we'll latch on to this. Because here's what Peter and John experience, and they're by themselves. Here are two uneducated, unlearned, unqualified men in terms of how the religious community would look at them. How many of us this morning feel unlearned, unqualified, and unable to do what God called us to do? Most of us do. Most of us feel that way. We feel like the professionals, and I don't know why you call me a professional, because I wear an Adidas sweatshirt and a Nike t-shirt and blue jeans and boots to worship. I don't know why you'd call me a professional. But so many of us look at ourselves as, I'm not equipped. Well, that's Peter and John at the core. They didn't have the education that other young men would have been privileged to. They were from Galilee. They weren't from around this Jerusalem area. They weren't on the in religious crowd. But something happens that's really important for you and I to understand and gravitate towards when the difficult times show up. Not if they show up, when they show up. And here's the first one. You have community with God, whether you feel like it, believe it, experience it, know it, or acknowledge it. If you're God's child, you and Him are giants. And you have no reason to be afraid. None. Zero. Nil. None. But so many of us, we God is almost a last resort of, oh, yeah, oh, man, I forgot. God's not out there. God's not over here. God's in here. And God's all around me. As they're thrown in the midst of this intimidating crowd and a crowd filled with the big dogs in the theological realm, Peter and John are taken from their prison cell and they're brought out in front of them. And you can just imagine the scene of what's going on. And here's what verse 8 says, chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, if we're willing, God is able. If we're open, God is there. And even if we're not willing and able and open, God's still there. That's the reality. But Peter just steps up. There you go. Too often and so often, we feel alone and abandoned when going through the difficult days because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Here's something to absolutely cling to. You and God are community. Period. Here's what I'll tell you. If I'm on your first call list when the difficult days show up, take me off. You don't need me. You don't need me on your call list. You need God on your call list. Because He should be your first call. Listen to the words of Jesus, Matthew 28, verse 20. I am with you always. And then to start the gospel of Matthew off, when Joseph is having this dream and trying to decide what to do with Mary, who is pregnant out of wedlock and it's not his child, in the dream the angel speaks to him and says these words: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I think it's really important that we remember that we need God first before we need God's people. I think it's really cool how this story unfolds for us, that as they're in the midst of this pretty severe trial and they don't know if they're going to live or die, God shows up. But then, not only did Peter and John and you and I have community with God, we also have community with God's people. And how the story unpacks is that Peter and John didn't just take off on their own and high-five each other and then move away from their community. It says that as soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers. In other words, they ran to their community of believers. And I think it's really important for us to remember as well, not only do we have community with God, we've got community with a whole group of believers that not only attend Potter's House, but that attend every Christ-believing and Christ-proclaiming church around the globe. That's community. And that we can run to that community. But it's interesting, as they ran to that community, what they did. There wasn't nail biting. There wasn't the wringing of the hands. There wasn't a, you know, we need to strategize. And what are we going to do? Do we run? Do we kind of hold up? Maybe we should be quiet? And there wasn't any of that. First, they praised God. They just praised God. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. That is the religious elite. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God, or praise to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. They just began to praise God. How odd is that to us? And then second, they prayed to God. I find their prayer really, really mind-boggling and interesting from a very human perspective. Because they did not pray for release. They did not pray for safety. Here's what they prayed. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Whoa, did bring it down a notch. Are you nuts? Do you not know what's going to happen? They've told you. And you're praying, God, consider their threats and give us great boldness. Stretch out your hand and do even more mighty signs. See, what they knew was that they had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were the tool, the electricity, the power, to just say to this man, rise up and walk. And he did it, and it was all through the name of Jesus Christ. And what they're saying is, do more. Do more. Don't let this be all there is, God. Do more. And so often our prayer is, God, take the heat off. Turn the heat down. I don't like people not liking me. I don't like the threats. I don't like being unpopular. What if I get fired? What if I lose stability? Shouldn't I be more? And what they're saying is, crank it up. Because we're not going to back down. We're going to step forward, and we're going to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Help us have this great boldness, and God, show up in a way that can only be attributed to you. And third, the power of God shows up again. Never been in a prayer meeting like this or a worship service like this, where after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Wow. Whoa. I've never been in anything like that, where God shows up in such an amazing fashion. Here's why I think he did, is because they weren't afraid. And it wasn't that they didn't have some sense of fear in them. They were human beings. But they were more fearful of God than they were of what the religious elite were saying to them. And they were more fearful of what God could do without them, and they wanted to be involved in what God was doing. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's interesting, they didn't pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. God just shows up in a miraculous fashion. Maybe our prayer lives need to be tweaked. Maybe our worship experiences need to be tweaked. Maybe for some of us, this is just a suggestion, because I'm an observer of human behavior. I think it's possible some of us are more into entertainment than we are worship. And we come to a service like this, we don't sing, we watch. We don't worship. We just kind of, we get our spiritual fix, we get our spiritual buzz. But we've not participated. We've watched. And we give all kinds of excuses. We really do. But honestly, in terms of praising God, no one can praise God for you. That's your job. And coming to a worship experience, if you're caught off guard by the fact that you're to sing, then something's wrong somewhere. Because worship is expressing our love back to God. Worship is expressing something to Him that nobody can express on our behalf. We're not here to entertain you. We're not here to tickle your ears. We're not here to make you feel good. I want you to feel good, don't get me wrong. I was joking with a guy in the back there while we were starting worship, and he He looked and he said, "Wow, you wore your big boy boots." And I said, "Yeah, I wore the steel toes in case God wanted to stomp on him." So I don't think God's into toe stomping. I don't think God's into slapping us around. I think God wants us to willingly, now here's this word again, surrender and show up at a worship experience where we go, "God, you are incredible. You are amazing. You are the most awesome God ever. You are the single God of the universe." And yet I'm afraid we're more worried about what people are going to think about us than we are to participate. So God shows up again. Now here's the punchline of the community, is that when the tough times are there and they praise God, they pray to God, the power of God shows up. Here's what's supposed to happen in community. We're supposed to stay one. One. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, that there was no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Community. Community, 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 community. Community with God, community with each other. That lends itself, this community with each other, is I can't wait to get to worship and tell somebody, here's what God has done in my life. Here's what I've got seen do in my life. Hey, would you pray with me, because here's the things that's going on in my life. Here's the difficulties that's going on. But man, when I was in the heat of the moment, God showed up big time. And the community stays one. It's interesting, a part of the word community is unity. Common unity. And you can't have community without unity. You just have common. Doesn't make sense, does it? Hey, I'm going to my com. Your com what? But we don't like one another, but we're a com. Come, unity, one. Now, if I had to give you two walkaways this morning, here's what they would be. Write these down. You should grab a pen now. When I say write these down, you should grab a pen and a piece of paper. Here's your walkaway. Number one. You will have difficulties in life. It's not maybe, could be, possibility. You will have difficulties in life. You will have difficulties in life. And what we'll do is we'll put this in the first person. I will have difficulties in life. Say it with me. I will have difficulties in life. Say it again. I will. Here's the second walk away. Write it down. Depend on your community with God and His children. Depend on your community with God and His children. And how you would say that is, depend on my community with God and His children. Whether you think so, feel it, or even acknowledge it or know it, you and God are community. You are. Me and God, we're community. I have everything I need in the Lord Jesus Christ and His relationship and my relationship with Him. But I can't do it without my community with you. I need you, and you need me. It's necessary. It's necessary. Would you pray with me, please?